I feel like you've gotten me unstuck. I really needed that framework for going forward, and I feel like you gave that to me.
Whatever I've been doing hasn't been working. Might as well try a different strategy. Thank you to you, Paula. I'm glad I found you.
Thank you so much, Paula. I really do truly appreciate you. This was awesome.
Sick of sacrificing or settling in your romantic life? Welcome to Make Him Wonder with Coach Paula Grooms, where women struggling in real relationships ask the expert. Unscripted, unfiltered, understandable coaching conversations to help passionate women succeed in love.
Hi there, and welcome to Make Him Wonder. I'm your host, Coach Paula, a dating and relationship coach for women, licensed social worker, and author of the book, Why Won't He Commit? A man decides to make you the one. I help you find or reunite with a man you truly desire, inspire his continued interest, create the relationship of your dreams, and receive the complete commitment you totally deserve. My guest today is 38-year-old divorced mom Autumn. Autumn wrote to me stating that she is finally ready to do the work to see if she can get her ex 40-year-old Danny back, using my lure him back approach. She states the relationship is complicated and Danny felt overwhelmed, so she wants to know what to do and what not to do so that he doesn't feel that way. Autumn comes on Make Him Wonder, wanting my opinion if this relationship is even salvageable at all. There are many details we need to hear from Autumn, so I'm excited to get right to it and welcome Autumn. Hi, Autumn.
Hi, Paula.
Glad you can do this today so that I can help you work through perhaps making a decision about Danny, because everything we do needs to stem from the decision. And I'm hearing that you might be a little undecided at this point, asking for my opinion if the relationship is even salvageable. So to that end, we want to get to some history about it. Tell me how long you have been together and how you met.
Okay. We met almost 4 years ago through a mutual friend.
Because a lot of a relationship is predicated on how it starts, I want to know that beginning part of your relationship.
The mutual friend gave Danny my phone number, and he began texting me immediately. I was not interested at the time. That was in May, but he was pretty persistent, and eventually we met in August of that year. We met in person, and it was, I think, for both of us, very immediate attraction and interest, and he pursued me very, very hard. He was really wanted to spend most of his time with me and eventually with my two children. And it was great. He said and did everything that I've always wanted from a man.
At that time, how long were you divorced?
I had been divorced at that time for about a year.
And how old were your children at the time?
Okay, so at the time, they were about 3 and 6.
And if you're comfortable disclosing, what precipitated you guys divorcing with children that young?
Well, of course, there were many reasons, but the big reason was their dad's drinking problem was just really more than I could handle anymore. So I would say that was the biggest reason for the divorce.
I see. I'm sorry to hear that. Is he involved with your kids at all?
He tries to be involved, but we've had more situations than I can count that were not healthy for the children to be in. So around the time actually that I met Danny was when things got really, really escalated with their dad and his drinking. And over the course of the last 4 years, it's led my ex-husband to, he's currently in rehab for his alcohol addiction. So it's been hard.
Yes, I can imagine. Great to hear that he's in rehab. I can also imagine that when Danny came into your life, you may have seen him as a bit of a lifeline, and because you said he was really interested in you and your children.
Absolutely, yes, very much so. And I think it's also within my nature to want to lean on someone. And he was very much a crutch and very willing at that time to be that for me.
I get it. So how long were things good and you were able to do that and lean on him?
I would say a year things were good, and I leaned on him a little too much. And I would say about a year.
What do you mean when you say a little too much?
I think I depended on him to hold me, literally and figuratively hold me.
What was the situation like at the time in terms of your seeing him? Were you living together? How much were you seeing him?
Okay, no, we have never lived together, but I would say a year and a half of it, he was spending probably 4 to 5 nights a week at my house. He had expressed early on that he would like to live together, but that was not something that I was open to with having 2 young children. It just didn't feel right. But yeah, we did spend a lot of time in my home.
I assume then the kids were involved with him to some degree.
Yes, very much so. He came to all the events, the recitals, all of the things. They love him very much. I know he loves them. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about what you believe happened that led to this breakup, if it's actually a breakup, or are you still in contact?
We are still in contact. I think what led to this was, I think, my emotional state, my lack of self-confidence, and I guess maybe individuality. And I think it just became, actually, I know it's become, because he's expressed it to me many times, very overwhelming for him. He has his own stresses, work and family, and it's just become too much for him to carry.
As an aside, what supports do you have in your life other than him?
Okay, I do have 2 really amazing parents. I have several friends. I have a wonderful counselor. So, I do have support, and I am very grateful for that. Never feels like enough.
Okay, so there's a couple of things we want to separate here, and that is your relationship with him now and you, because I'm hearing what is important to hear, which is that you have insight as to the why of all of this, like what happened to get you here. Is that fair to say? You kind of know what got you where you are?
I do, yes.
Okay, so if you had to give me a percentage of things, like percent that is my doing, my quote-unquote fault, if you will, his ownership of it, what percentage would you give out of 100%, which is the whole of your relationship, what percentage would you give each of you?
I would give me 70 and him 30.
Okay, so tell me about his 30.
He's a very kind, empathetic, compassionate man, absolutely, very caring and loving, but he does tend to move towards anger when he's overwhelmed and frustrated and shuts down. His job is very demanding, lots of hours. He is what I would call a workaholic. So I think those 2 things are the big things on his side.
How did what you're telling me about him present itself to you, the kids, and what effect did it produce on you in the relationship?
I think that the amount of time that he's now putting into his job has increased because I feel like he's kind of using it to cope. And so obviously that means there hasn't been time to spend with us.
Tell me, before we get into your 70%, where things really are right now tangibly. For example, he said, you know, that's it, and we only converse because of the kids, or it's just not at a good place, because I'm unclear where your relationship actually is at this moment.
Okay, well, that makes two of us. I am clear and I'm not clear. There's a lot of gray area there. Around May of last year is when he suggested that for the first time that we take some time apart so that I could work on myself and being happy, because there was just a lot of emotion involved whenever we were together on my part. So we did try to take some time apart, and it's just kind of been that cycle for the last year, almost a year, until about March of this year, when he said that we needed to be done, that it was just too much. But we are still in communication, because I've really just struggled with not communicating. There's been weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks here and there where we don't speak at all. Yeah, we are currently communicating.
So tell me about that communication, meaning you reach out to him and he answers, you've actually seen each other, he comes to see the kids.
Okay, I would say the majority of the time I am reaching out to him, whether it be a text or phone call. Again, I would use the same percentage, 70-30, 30% I would say he's, you know, reaching out to me after a couple weeks of not speaking on my part, on my side, not reaching out. He would usually then reach out to me and say, I hope you're doing okay, hope the kids are good. More recently, about 2 weeks ago, he did come to the house and spent several hours with us, but just on a more of a platonic base.
Okay. How was that for you and the kids? What impact did that have?
For me, it was great. It was just really good to see him. He seemed happier, seemed less stressed. The girls, I ask, and they didn't seem to feel any way about it. Just, I think it felt kind of normal to them.
What do they know about the situation, if anything?
Yeah, they don't know a lot, other than they can see that I'm sad. And that we're also very much a part of his family. So they do ask about his mom, mostly, because they became close with her. So they do ask on occasion.
When he was there, did you two have time to discuss and talk about anything related to getting back together, anything at all like that?
No, not that day at all. Nothing.
And after that?
I'm sure I said something. I think after that, a couple days later, I asked him via text if he would be interested in going away for a weekend together, to which he replied that he didn't want me to feel rejected, but he couldn't at this time say yes to that, and that he was sorry.
I see. So I can imagine this has been really hard for you.
It is very hard. He's a really special person.
What I'm hearing that's good here is, first and foremost, that he fell for you and pursued you very hard. That's very big and cannot be discounted. What can happen for us as women, because we don't work in the same way that men do with this, is that we can be feeling really, really strong about someone. But when we are truly done and we have no interest in a man anymore and do not have any latent desire for him in any way, especially sexually, getting that back is super hard, tantamount to an impossibility. But it doesn't work that way for men. It's very opposite. So the degree that they are all in the beginning and get the chance to pursue heavily, we can look at as a very good barometer of you being able to get it back. Here's what I'm hearing, that he still loves you, loves the kids. He doesn't want the issues and problems. He doesn't want the drama, the chaos, the overwhelm, all of that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. So I said I'm hearing three good things. That's the first. The second is that you are very aware of you being the driver of this, so to speak. Meaning 70% your stuff, your way of relating, whatever that is, that's 70% for you and 30% for him. Typically, and why this, the membership of this podcast is called the 80-20 Wonder Club, is that we have to take 80% ownership, if you will, in a sense, in creating and keeping the relationship at a level we want it to be. That's pretty much my mechanics of men, because we know relationships. We are all about relationships. We are all about the connection, cooperation, caretaking needed for relationships. We keep them running in good order, just like men do with cars, generally speaking. They have interest in them. They know about them. They can attend to them in a way that generally we can't. So that's very good. The third thing here is that there's a lot of investment, and I think that that can go a long way if you do what you're going to need to do to have him seeing you in a different light and rectifying the overwhelm on his part.
I agree with that very much. I'm just not really sure how to get there.
Right. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about where you start, what you need to do, and how you need to follow through on it. The first part really is where you need to start right from today, because there is no need to be waiting on any of this. We need to change things up immediately, incrementally, actively, consistently. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about that and how you start it in a moment. I trust you're enjoying Make Him Wonder and that you're getting a lot of helpful information for the life of love you desire and deserve. So if you're not part of the 80-20 Wonder Club yet, you need to be, because now Make Him Wonder is exclusive, a members-only club to listen to every episode, past, present, and future, in full, all ad-free. The 80-20 Wonder Club is a Make Him Wonder membership that gives you all of seasons 1, 2, and 3 in a categorized list by age and relationship status, and a multimedia library of my content, including my book, Relationship Evals, and my Mechanics of Men Mindset Manual, a weekly action step you can focus on to attract and keep the man of your dreams and have him committing to you completely in the coming months. Make this the moment you start living as an 80-20 Wonder Woman, because love, like life, is best lived in 80-20. When you do 80% of what works with men, the 20% you don't won't much matter. Join the 80-20 Wonder Club by going to the 8020wonder.club. Don't miss out. Go now to the 8020wonder.club. You and your man will be glad you did. So we're back with divorced mom, 38-year-old Autumn. Autumn, we need to start small. However, we need a big commitment on your part to do it, because the degree to which you're committed to doing this will predicate your getting what you want. And if you can have exactly what you want with him, what is that? What does it look like?
I want him to be a part of our family. Again, I would love to eventually live together. I think in a lot of ways that would remove some stress back and forth. I just want to have a life with him, really, to share a life together.
Do you want to be married?
I don't think that that's something I have to have. Do I want it? Sometimes, but I'm not, it's not something that I feel like I need.
That's understood, because you as a woman don't need it. In other words, we as women, we spend enough time with someone we like, love him, and keep having sex with him. We are committed. We're all in. There's no decision that needs to be made. It just occurs. And you are all in, and you don't need marriage for that. Men, even if it's not a legal marriage, they need a formal public commitment stemming from the decision they make to take us on as the one, because they don't commit through time and sex like we do, and they don't bond from that. They commit via the decision, and then they bond through taking on the responsibility they see commitment as being. It's much like the puppy principle, which is in my book. We as women love all puppies. They're cute. They're wonderful. We could foster one and love on it while we're fostering it. But until we make the decision to adopt, through that decision, we then bond to it and we live up to it. So a man needs to do that generally because he sees commitment as a responsibility, and then he will live up to it. So that you may want to really think about more. I discovered this, and the truth from this man's writing hit the truth in me. That's therapist Bob Grant, and he talks more about the bonding for men in this way and why marriage is very important for men. So that's one thing. How you're going to get there is the most important component here. You've recognized that there must be change in you. He loves you as the person you are, but there was something about what you were doing or not doing that made him feel overwhelmed. And that's what we have to look at now for you to change. The first thing is, are you ready to make those changes and commit to those changes, even if they are hard?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be hard. Anything truly worthwhile is going to be difficult. We have to first start with understanding that you are not doing yourself any favor at all by continuing to show him that you are not okay with this. It's not that you're showing him that you're okay with it. You're showing that you want him back and you would absolutely go back. Is that true?
Absolutely. I say that often to him.
Okay. It's got to be a direct statement, and it's got to be like a line in the sand. And this is what's going to be difficult for you, because there are these tangential relationships, like with his family and the kids. But you're going to have to do this for him to go through the feelings he needs to feel, and the loss he needs to feel is final for him to do something different. So the relationship with the family, what is that like? And how would you see that continuing for the kids, him perhaps continuing to see the kids? How do you see that playing out? If you were not in the mix, you were not interacting with him in any way other than what some people do in a divorce, which is just the ex has a time with the kids and that's it, and there's no interaction.
Okay. Currently, he does not have interaction with my children aside from when he was here 2 weeks ago, but I did actually just last week have a little bit of a conversation with his mom about how I felt this wasn't healthy for the girls and I. It was planned that she would spend one day a week with my girls through the summer, and I did go ahead and tell her that I didn't think that that was good anymore. It just wasn't healthy for us. So I'm trying to create some separation there between his family, my children, explaining to them that I don't have a relationship with Danny anymore. So I don't feel like I can have one with them.
I'm not suggesting that you do, but I want you to look at it solely as a mom about your children. Here's why I say that. If you're comfortable, give me around their ages, your girls. What are their ages now?
11 and 8.
And Danny has been with them for 4 years, ostensibly as the dad figure. Is that fair to say?
For some of the 4 years, yeah.
Okay. It's been a good relationship, and he would continue seeing them in some fashion, even if you weren't in the mix?
I'm not sure on that one.
The mother wants to?
Yes, very much so. Would like to be involved with the kids.
And they see her as like a grandmotherly type of figure?
Yes.
So you have to make the decision about them, because we have to be very careful about taking people out of children's lives simply because they're out of our lives. I know this is difficult, but given the ages they are, they've had a lot of stress due to your ex-husband and loss there, even if he's involved as he can be, and you haven't said much about his family, but if Danny's mom and Danny want continued interaction because they love the children, you may want to think about continuing that for them until it's a natural decline for them that's their choice as they grow or not.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
So given our agreement on that a little bit, you may want to think about taking her up on her offer. And this would be a very good way for you to handle him seeing the children, if that's what he wishes to do. I hope he does to some degree, because again, children interpret an adult that's been in their life not seeing them as the children's fault. This is what can be so detrimental. So as much as we can rationalize and describe, oh, we don't see Danny much anymore because mommy and Danny are not in a relationship, it doesn't compute to the children directly like that, because children, the natural state until much, much later, is that everything in my outside world is due to me being the cause of it. So good, bad, or indifferent, I caused it in some way, even though it makes no rational sense to us as adults. So the best is for him to show continued interest if he has any, and the mother being involved, that's the time under her watch and her lens that could occur, so that you don't have to be involved in any way. That, to me, would be the perfect solution if he still wants some kind of involvement. We want them to come to it from the knowledge of, when a man comes into my life and he shows some caring for me, interest for me, what have you, it's just not gonna go away. Because ultimately, what I said, that children, I'm the cause of it, no matter what the explanation is, especially given the fact that they've had a schism with their own dad due to his drinking.
I think that is fair, and it makes sense, and it's what they deserve.
Yes. So this is going to necessitate that you do some problem solving around this with Danny's mother, and then we set about the true lure him back approach, because that is the best way possible that gives you the best chance of it occurring. And it is three-pronged. The first is the mechanics of men, what we talked about, that he has got to see you as changing what it was that was problematic for him. Not, however, that you're doing it for him and to get back with him, but that you are doing it for you. This is basically what I call being a worthy opponent. Anything we do with men, we can think of under the sports heading, so to speak. Whatever men do can be looked at under the three C's of men that I have in my book. They are about challenge, competition, conquering in whatever they do. Business, relationships, hobbies, everything. And all men are on a scale with this. Depends where he is on the scale. But if he's male, it's there. It's just born into males, like being the connectors, the cooperators, the caretakers is in us. So you need to be Steph Curry to his LeBron James. And how you do that is by showing him that you do what you need to do for you to bring your A game to your life, and that you are on par with him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when you show complete acceptance of the situation, you automatically raise your level up a couple of notches. In other words, if their two handlers, LeBron's and Steph Curry's, got together and they're in the same city, so they want to go one-on-one in a game, they would be jockeying for position in a sense. In other words, one wouldn't be continually coming after the other. It would make the other one down. In other words, if Steph kept showing him, no matter how many times you say you don't want to play with me, I keep coming after you to do it, what's LeBron going to think about Steph Curry?
That he doesn't want to play.
No. So in other words, if Steph Curry, no matter how many times LeBron says, I don't want to play, what is LeBron going to think of Steph Curry if Steph Curry keeps trying to play with him?
I don't know.
Okay. It's very important for you to know that. LeBron will look at him as less than, not as good, kind of weak, not a worthy opponent, not on par with him. You see, LeBron would expect that kind of behavior from a B-League player, not in the NBA. In other words, if it were somebody nobody knows, not at that level yet, that person would do anything to play with LeBron James. But someone like Steph Curry, he wouldn't do that. It's like one time or two times I'm asking you to play with me because we're in the same city. If LeBron doesn't, Steph Curry stops so that he holds his status as equal, a worthy opponent. This is fundamental to men who jockey for their position, so to speak. And it is the same in relationships. In this scenario, you are showing Danny that you are one down. You're not that worthy opponent. You see him as a little above and attempting for you to play together.
That makes sense.
And for a man, the achievement, the challenge, the competition, the conquering is what gets them going, what lights their fire. He pursued you, and through that pursuit, he fell for you because it was a challenge. This is fundamental to understand. So when you show, oh, I'm becoming a metaphorical player in the NBA, and I'm over here practicing, getting my A game on, and even a little sense of, I know you want to play with me, and you will. That's when things start to change. But we don't want to have imposter syndrome. Meaning, if Steph Curry didn't have all the NBA rings he has and the shooting scores he has, he wouldn't truly be a worthy opponent and he wouldn't feel like one, correct?
Correct.
So we need to get you there, which will allow you to be the worthy opponent, feel the worthy opponent, know that you are the worthy opponent, have the behaviors of the worthy opponent. How do we do that? Because that's just one of the three pillars, is doing those behaviors, which are under the mechanics of men. Well, what allows you to do that is changing your self-concept through overriding your subconscious programming, and we do this via manifestation and the various exercises we must go through so that you truly begin to feel and embody your worth, your value, step into your power, practice, and then you become that worthy opponent. So just at this juncture, what questions come to mind from all that I just said?
I just wonder if I'm past all of this, if it's too far gone. I guess that was my initial question.
I understand. It's a good one. In my work, I have seen this have the results you're looking to achieve in all manner of different time frames, in all manner of various types of relationships. What makes it work or not work is the degree to which the woman commits to it, actually does change it through the work on it. And then there is an element of time. Generally, what throws the wrench in it, a couple of things. Not being committed enough to do what is necessary. And through that not being committed enough to do what is necessary, expecting the change too soon, having urgency. And this comes from weakness in one of the three pillars, which is weakness in the manifestation, meaning that you do the exercises of manifestation and start living in the knowing that it is working. Because right now, you are living in the knowing, so to speak, that you believe to be the case, which is there's little hope.
Absolutely.
Okay, so give me, again, a percentage of what you think the hope is. Like if you had to say, well, I think it's a 5% chance. I think it's a 50% chance. What chance, percentage-wise, would you give it?
Maybe 20%.
Okay, so that means you are living in your own knowing that there's an 80% chance he's not coming back, you're not going to get what you want, it's not working. This can be switched, and it must be switched for it to work. Because if you can imagine yourself knowing, living in that knowing, that you're going to be back together, you're having what you want, you're getting all of it, you will then act differently. Now, here's the rub. The action is what needs to be done for him to come to that, what we would say, on his own, but it's actually him reacting to your new, confident, value-based essence, energy. The work comes in to do this on a weekly basis so that you get to this level, and while you're getting there, you are doing the stuff that is necessary in what we would call the 3D world of you showing him that you are a worthy opponent. It is antithetical to what you have been doing. It's the opposite. It's psychological. But right now, he doesn't have to do anything. He is coasting in this world of, if I ever want to go back, I know I can. She wants me back. He doesn't need to do anything. And it actually doesn't inspire him to what? Pursue, desire. It doesn't challenge him.
Yes, but of course you know that I'm afraid that if I stop, he'll go away.
Yep, exactly. And this is what the work is as well. Getting to that place where you take that leap of faith from your knowing. In other words, when you said yes, before you said the but, the yes part of it is, I consciously know what you're talking about. That makes sense to me. From the difference between men and women, that makes a lot of sense to me. The but is from your subconscious programming. And that is what you said. I stop coming after him. And that is antithetical to how I was programmed, which is I must show my love interest what I want, I'll be good, things have changed, and get the validation that even if I'm not getting what I want, at least they're talking to me. It doesn't work. If it worked, you'd have it. It doesn't work because of all that I just said about being a worthy opponent, inspiring his desire, having him pursue, presenting a challenge, you being of value because of the three C's of men, that anything truly worthy that I have in my life as a man, I pursue and live up to. It's like this for all of us. When we are given something, and sometimes no matter how valuable it is, we don't value it as much as if it were something we worked for.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So that's what needs to happen. And you need to be brave despite your fear. That's what bravery is. Bravery and courage is doing what needs to be done despite the fear. If we don't have fear, then it's not bravery or courage. The fear is understandable. It's, are you going to do it anyway because you know that that's the way? And for you, given where things have been, you are going to have to show him a decisive turnaround. And I'm sure you have questions about how you even institute this, given that you've been saying what you've been saying, and he knows that you want him back.
Yes, I understand what you're saying and what I need to do. I guess what I'm wondering is, more specifically, is it time to stop reaching out, stop calling, stop texting, stop asking to see each other?
I'm wondering, what did you take away from what I said? What do you think I'm going to say?
I'm not really sure.
I want you to think about it for a minute. All that I said, what do you think I'm going to say? And from what you've heard me say probably in the past to other women?
I think by continuing to do the things I just said would not make me a worthy opponent, because then I'm just Steph Curry just asking over and over again.
You got it. Mm-hmm.
I think you're telling me that I need to trust that he will move towards me when he's ready to.
Actually, by what you would do, and I have seen this countless times from doing this lure him back approach, you see, he will come to you because you got him ready from what you are doing. You've inspired his readiness. You've manifested his readiness. And that may sound woo-woo in a sense, but it's all energy. And I can only tell you that it works. And he will be back. He will be back not when he is ready, but because of the change in you. The change in you, he reflects and has a change. What are you thinking, feeling?
I'm thinking that you know what you're talking about. But I'm also thinking that it's been very challenging to do that thus far.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost impossible to do alone. And I don't know anyone else who works in the fashion that I do and does it this way. Generally speaking, if you are working with a counselor, you are talking more about your feelings, and likely, dependent on the counselor, it is, well, you need to talk to him about your feelings, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work because I've done that.
Yeah, it just doesn't, because men don't relate through verbalization in that way. They relate via action. They need to be inspired to take it, and they need a worthy opponent. And it's why two guys who are worthy opponents don't talk to each other about their feelings or what they're going to do. They do it. Sports is a reflection of the male mind. Sports came from the male mind. Two quarterbacks on the field, it would be like one going up to the other and saying, hey, we're thinking of making this play. I think I'd like this to happen, and I'm going to throw it to the running back, and then he's going to do X, Y, and Z. How do you feel about that? Ludicrous. He does it. He challenges the other guy. It's about competition. And he conquers. Or he doesn't. It fails. But even if he fails, the other quarterback respects him for that and wants to play with him again because of that respect. You see?
Yeah.
Okay. You have quite a bit of work to do to get to the point where you can begin this. If you do it, it's going to be one of the most challenging things you've ever done. But generally speaking, it is through the most challenging things that we do that we get results that are equally as fulfilling and meaningful. You know now that if you continue doing what you're doing, you're going to get the same results.
Yeah.
Being scared, anxious, is not a reason not to do something. You have to trust in the process, commit to the process, institute it, execute it. And the beauty is this, that he will be back. I know that simply because I've helped so many women do it, done it myself. And you will have a relationship infinitely better when he does because you have done the work on yourself. And let's say he doesn't come back. You will be infinitely in a better place for the next relationship. But we don't even have to deal with that part of it because he will be back when you present this new you and the challenge. I can't tell you exactly when, but the women I work with, I just say, I will hold space for you. We know that is coming. You're trusting in the process. You're doing it.
Okay.
So there is a start to this that you must institute and pull the trigger on. And that you need to get prepared for and to execute in a way that is mindful, steady, calm, confident, knowing, feminine energied. And that is wondering what I'm going to tell Autumn she needs to do to initiate the change and dance she wants to experience. In the rest of this episode, I outline for Autumn what she'll need to do immediately to set the wheels of change in motion for Dan so that he begins to feel what he used to feel and be inspired to be back and fully committed. And because I want you to get the results you desire with your current or future Mr. Right, I invite you to check out the 80/20 Wonder Club, an exclusive membership-only club of the Make Him Wonder podcast, as that is the only way you'll be able to hear the rest of what I tell Autumn. You may be thinking that it's impossible or improbable, but I've worked with hundreds of women who have made this happen by enacting and committing to my Lure Him Back approach. Women who not only get back with their love, but secure committed love, get engaged and married. If you have a man who loves you, but you're not getting the commitment you desire, then it's a must that you be intentional, mindful, and work with my Mechanics of Men method to your advantage via my Lure Him Back program. If you're ready, go to CoachPaulaGrooms.com and click on Lure Him Back under Coaching. As part of the program, you'll automatically be part of the 80/20 Wonder Club, where you'll hear the rest of this episode and 200 plus more like it, all ad-free and categorized by age and relationship status, plus all new episodes the moment they're formatted. If you simply want to hear the rest of this episode and the hundreds like it, just join the 80/20 Wonder Club monthly and cancel at any time. Or get extra savings by committing to a 6 or 12-month membership. Now, not only will you get over 200 ad-free episodes, plus the Making Magic with Men Mindset Manual, a video series of exercises for you to stay in tip-top Wonder Woman shape. With the extra savings of a 12-month membership, you'll also receive a full coaching intensive experience where you'll be talking to me personally in a conversation like you just heard. Join an amazing group of Wonder Women who are committed to succeeding in their love life and hear the rest of what I tell Autumn she must follow through on for herself to have a chance of a future with Dan for herself and her girls. Don't miss out on how to make your man wonder in the right way to have divine right results you desire in your romantic life. Go now to the 8020wonder.club. That's T-H-E 8020wonder.club. You and your love will be glad you did.